Today's shir is a Masechta Horus on Daf Yud Aleph. We will begin on Daf Yud Amid Beis, 10 lines from the bottom of the Amid, in the middle of the line with the words, Amar Rab Nachman Bar Yitzchak. Begins the Gemara. Amar Rab Nachman Bar Yitzchak, G'day La Avera L'Shma, Mi Mitzvah Shaloi L'Shma. A Avera that is done L'Shem Shemayim is greater than a mitzvah that is done Shaloi L'Shma, that is not done for altruistic purposes, but it has some other benefit for the person himself. It's loy lishma. So an aveira done lishma is greater than a mitzvah that's done loy lishma. We're going to learn the Gemara according to the pirush of the Orech Mishor. The Gemara brings a proof from a pasuk to a aveira that was done lishma. A mitzvah that was done shaloy lishma, the Orech Mishor explains, that we find in the Gemara in Brachos Daf Yud Zayin Amid Aleph, that it's better that he was never created. So we see a negative connotation concerning a mitzvah that is done shaloi lishma, that the Gemara here doesn't bring any source for. What the Gemara is bringing a source for is the greatness of an aveira that is done lishma. And the Gemara is going to bring a proof from Yael. This is taken from Shiras Dvorah, where Dvorah speaks about the greatness of what Yoel did, that in the battle there against Sisro, when Sisro came to the house of Yoel, and she seduced him to have relations with her. In fact, we're going to see she did it 7 times. And Rashi, in Divrei Maskil, Neschavno L'Shem Mitzvah, which it seems Rashi had this girsa in our Gemara, which we don't have, that Yoel was in Skavnu Shem Mitzvah. So Rashi says, 6 lines from the bottom of the Amid on the left side, Kidei lahatish koichai, utehei yichoy lilahargoi. So she wanted to weaken Sisro, and therefore she had relations with him 7 times, as we're going to learn from a pasuk in Shiras Dvorah. And she did this in order that he would not have any strength, and she would be able to kill him, as she did when he fell asleep, and she took a peg from the tent, and thrust it into his skull and thus killed him. So Dvorah says about Yoel, Tevorach minoshim Yoel eshes chavrakeni, that Yoel, the wife of chavrakeni, should be blessed from the blessings that we find related to the women. And the women we're going to soon see refers to Sora, Rivka, Rachel, Velea. And then Dvorah continues, minoshim bo'oil tevorach, that Yoel should receive the blessings similar or a part of the blessings that were given out to the women of the tent. Who are the tent women? Man, Ninu, Noshim, Boyle, asked the Gemara. The Gemara answers, Sora, Rivka, Rachel, Velea. And as we mentioned yesterday, Shir, this Amud and the beginning of the next Amud is found in the Gemara in Nazar, Dafchav, Gimel, Amud Alf, and Amud Beis, where we learned about Loit and his 2 daughters. And there, Tosfos tells us, in the same Sugya Nazir, the psukim in the Torah, which tell us that these 4 imois had snias, that is represented by the tent, the oel, and Tosfos enumerates each pasuk for each of the imois that speaks about an oil. By Sora, we know the pasuk, hine ba'oil. By Rivka, it says, v'yivyeh yitzuk ha'oil ha'sora imoi. And by Rachel and Leah, it says, Vayetze me oyel Leah, Vayavoy be'oyel Rachel. So we find the oyel referring to each of the imois. So Yoel, who did an aveira, but she did it l'shem shemayim, and the Mephorshim say that it's only such an aveira done l'shem shemayim, which was to save Klal Yisrael by killing Sisera, that he should not be a threat anymore to all of Klal Yisrael, such an aveira lishma. Normally a person can have the best intentions, and that does not justify the person doing an aveira. But such an aveira, as Yoel did to save Klal Yisrael, is permitted, and it is greater than a mitzvah shaloi lishma. As the Gemara, you seem to be saying that a mitzvah shaloi lishma has a negative connotation. V'omer Rabbi Yehuda Amar Rav, lo'olam yasik adam b'torah v'mitzvah afilu shaloi lishma. A person should always be busy with Torah mitzvahs, even not altruistically, not lishma, shemitoich shaloi, lishma bolishma. Because if a person starts out climbing the ladder, and he begins by doing mitzvahs and learning Torah shaloi lishma, eventually he'll come to lishma. As the Rambam in Dagdama to Perich Chelik in Sanhedrin tells us, that that's how a child learns. At the beginning, when a child is young, the parent has sweets, candies for the child. As he gets older, the loy lishma is toys. As he gets older, it may be a bicycle, etc., etc., until the child gets that old, he becomes a young adult, and he begins to realize the greatness of Torah itself, learning Torah lishma for altruistic reasons, because Asher Kedishanu b'mitzvayso v'tzivanu lasik b'divisar, because the Rebbeinu Shalom wants us to delve into Torah, and he's learning it for no other reason. But in order to reach that plateau, he has to begin step by step. Mitarch shalal lishma b'al lishma. The Michtav Melio and other Meforshim bring down that Rabbi Yudah Merav says here, lo'oilam yastik on a matar v'mitzvah, afilush lo'oil lishma. That lo'oilam, that's always the way to do it. You cannot jump up the ladder and go right to lishma. You have to begin by lo'oil lishma. As Rav Shlomo Shvadron once said in a shmooze, that he would get up early in the morning to learn, not for the learning sake, but because his mother prepared some hot milk and delicious cookies for him. That motivated him to get out of bed. But eventually, his learning turned from shaloi lishma to lishma. So, according to this pshat of the Michtam Eliyahu, lo'oilam yasik adam b'tarav mitzvos afilu shaloi lishma, that is the correct way that a person should, l'chatchila, begin his quest for Torah with shaloi lishma. The Gemara's kash is very profound. You're telling me something negative with shaloi lishma. You're telling me that a avera lishma is greater than a mitzvah shaloi lishma. And here we see lo'olam, that fakir, the way to get to lishma is you have to start out with lo'olam lishma. So there's nothing negative about it. That's the correct way, asked the Gemara. So the Gemara says, you're right, Ema, I'm retracting, and I'm saying, kemitzvah shaloi lishma, that an avera shaloi lishma, the type that Yael did to save Klal Yisrael, that is equivalent to a mitzvah shaloi lishma, asks Taisus and Nazir. Daf Chav Gimel, and the same thing we find Taisu Brachas Daf Yud Zayin. Then what about the Gemara that we mentioned, that Kaloitz Mitzvah Shalai Shema Noach Loi Shalai Nivra? So how can we say that Lo'oilom Yatzko Adam Tar Mitzvah Afilu Shalai Shema, when it's better that he was never created? On that, Taisu answers that there are two types of Lo'oil Shema. The one Lo'oil Shema is for COVID, that he should be called a Rebbe, the candies that the child is learning Lo'oil Shema, all those non-altruistic reasons, that's lo'olam. That's how you should start, and eventually you'll get to the goal of learning lishma. Which lo'ol lishma is the Gemara speaking about in Brachas, where it's better that he was never created? That's lekanter, when he's trying to use Torah as a method of trumping his chaver, of showing up his chaver. He uses Torah for such a negative purpose, that is better that he was never created. So answers Tosfos in Brachas and in Nazir. Continues the Gemara. Amar Rabbi Yochanan Sheva Be'ilas Bolo Is a Rosh by Sushar. As we mentioned before, Sisro had seven Be'ilas together with Yoel. How do we know? We learn it from a Pasuk. And the Gemara brings the beginning of the Pasuk. And Rashi, in Divrei HaMaskil, Bein Raglav, brings the end of the Pasuk. The Pasuk states, Bein Raglav, between her feet, Kara, he bent, Nafal, he fell, Shachav, he laid down. And Rashi continues the Pasuk, Bein Raglel, Kora, Nafal, Basher Kora, Shom Nafal Shadud. Where he bent down, that's where he fell dead. Says Rashi, Harei Shiva. If you count up the verbs that the Pasuk mentions here, first three, Kora, Nafal, Shachav, and then the other four, Bein Raglel, Kora, Nafal, and then Basher Kora Shom Nafal, it's another four. Together it's seven. So from here, although the Torah doesn't, the Navi does not say Beferish that she had relations with Sisera, from here Chazal learned out that in fact she had seven Beis with him. And as Rashi said, the reason is that she wanted to weaken him so that she could kill him. Ask the Gemara, how can you be Mishabeach what Yoel did? Didn't she after all have Hanoah from the Avera? So how could it be considered such a great thing that she's going to get schar like similar to Sar Rivka Rachav Aleiah, Amr Rabbi Yoichel, Mishum Rabbi Shimon Yochai, Afilu Toivasim Shol Rishayim, Ra Hi Eitz Tzadikim. Even the good that a Rasha does, when the Tzadik experiences it, to the Tzadik, it's Ra. So Sisera might have had pleasure in their relations, but it was an abhorrent act for Yael, and she only did it L'Shem Shemayim to save Klal Yisrael. Continues the Gemara, going back on what we learned before. Amar Rabbi Yudah Amar Rav. Lo'olam yasakon ha-metarvi b'tzofi l'shalol l'shma, sh'metar sh'lo l'shma b'al l'shma. How do we know this? From Balak. Shevashar membeis korbanis, shaker of Balak ha-Rasha, in the reward of the 42 korbanis that Balak ha-Rasha brought, as Rashi points out, because in three places he built seven mizbechois. And on each Mizbeach, he brought two korbanos, a par and an ayal. So 7 times 3 is 21, times 2 is 42. For those 42 korbanos, he was zoyche v'yotza mimenu rus. Rus came out of him. And Rashi says, she'yotza mimenu David, she'rivo l'akadosh baruch hu b'shiris u'sish b'achos. From rus came out David, as we find at the end of Sefer Rus, that Rus and Boaz had Oved, who had Yishai. Yishai had David. So from Rus came out David. So from the loylishma of what Balak, who as we'll soon see, was related to Rus, from what the 42 korbanos that he brought shaloylishma in order to curse Klal Yisrael, that Hashem should curse Klal Yisrael, came out David HaMelech, who gave shiras v'sishbachos to the Rebbein Shalom lishma. How do we know that Rus was related to Balak? Amar Rabbi Yisrael Chanina, Rus bas benoy shel Egloin. She was the daughter of the son of Eglon. Eglon was her grandfather. Ben Benoy Shabalk. And Eglon was the grandson of Balak, Melech Moyov. The Marsha asks a tremendous question here. We discussed this when we learned the shir in, I believe it was Masechta Soita or Nazir. We mentioned this Marsha here in Hyrius, that the Marsha asks, that we just said before from Tosfos in Brachas and in Nazir, that there are two kinds of Lo Lishma. And when a person is Lekanter, when he's just trying to use Torah as a vehicle to destroy the other person, then it's better that he was never created. And on that type of Lo Lishma, we don't say Shemitach Shelo Lishma, Bo Lishma. We only say Mitach Shelo Lishma, Bo Lishma on the type of Lo Lishma which has to do with Kovet, being called a Rebbe. So how can the Gemara, according to Tosfos, bring a raya from Balak, that mitar shel lishma bo lishma, but Balak was trying to destroy Klal Yisrael, so he's lekanter. Lekanter, we don't say mitar shel lishma bo lishma. Answers the Marsha that Balak's motivation to try to destroy Klal Yisrael was vayogar mayav. The pasuk says they feared Klal Yisrael. They thought that Klal Yisrael was going to come and attack them. It was a defensive war against Klal Yisrael, and therefore a preemptive war against Klal Yisrael. That is in the same getter as a Lo Lishma, that's not Lekanter. His purpose wasn't offensive, aggressive to destroy Klal Yisrael. It was rather preemptive that Klal Yisrael shouldn't destroy him. He thought that they were going to do that, so that can be considered a type of Shalom Lishma, where we would say, Shemitach Shalom Lishma, Bal Lishma. Continues the Gemara. Amar Rabbi 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 Yoichah Benayin Shein Hakadosh Baruch Hu Mikapecha Filus Char Sicha No Mehocha. How do we know that Hakadosh Baruch Hu does not hold back the reward even for just speaking in a nice way? We know it from here. And this here we go back to the story that we learned in yesterday's shir of Lot and his two daughters. The Ilu Bechir, the older daughter, the first night that she lived with Lot, and she eventually had a child for him. And what did she call the child? Moyav. The Karya Moyav, which means May Avi, from my father. So she publicly was expressing the fact that this child comes from my father. That is not a tzniyistik thing to do. So Amalei Rachman LaMoshe. So what did Hashem say to Moshe? Al Teitzeres Moav. Do not make a siege against Moav. Al Tizgeba Mulcham. Do not contend with them in battle. So we can deduce Mulcham, as we turn to Daf Yud Aleph Amud Aleph. You can't engage with them in war. You can't start up with them in war, but you could afflict them in other ways. But Ve'ilu Sira, the younger daughter, who was more tzniyistic, the Karya Ben Ami, she called her son, the son of my people. She hid the fact that it came from her father. So what did Hashem say to Moshe? Omar Lei, Al Tetzorim, do not besiege them. Va'al Tizger Bam Klal. It doesn't say here about Tizger Bam Muhammad, but don't start up with them in any matter. Don't be mitzar them at all. That's a schar because she was more tzniyistic and said Ben Ami. And Rashi adds that you see that the Torah itself, the way the Bechira acted in a pre-tzniyistic manner, so the Torah says, Vatishka Vesavia, the Torah reveals that she lay with her father, whereas by the Tzira, the younger daughter, who was more discreet and more tzniyistic, there it says, Vatishkav imoi, that she used the word Ben Ami. So the Torah, concerning her relations with her father, Lloyd said, Imoy, with him not saying Me Avia. Continues the Gemara. Until now, we've seen that the Seira had advantages over the Bechira, but now we're going to find something that the Bechira did, which was an advantage over the Tzira. Amar Bechira Avin, Amar Bishu Ben Karchel, Oilum Yagdim Oilum Dvar Mitzvah. A person should always be a Zoros to do a Dvar Mitzvah. Shabbaschar Laila Achas, Shekadma Bechira Letzira. The fact that the Bechira had relations in order to perpetuate humanity, thinking that the whole world was destroyed. So she jumped into the mitzvah a night before her younger sister, Bishar Laila Achashekadma Bechir Letzira, Zachsa, Vikadmasa, Arbo, Dairus Lamalchus. She already entered Klal Yisrael, her descendants, four generations in Malchus, because, as we mentioned before, because Rus, who came from Bolak, as we mentioned before, Rus had Oved, and Oved had Yishai. Yishai had David, and David had Shlomo. It was only when it comes to the Amon, we find that Naama Ha'amonis was the wife of Shlomo, and they had a son, Rechavam. So it was only after Shlomo, already there's four generations where the descendants of Lot, through Rus HaMoyavia, they entered Klal Yisrael, and they had four generations. The Gemara says Malchus, actually it was only David who had Malchus, but Oved and Yishai were the father and grandfather of Malchus, so they're also considered part of the Malchus. So they preceded Rechavam, who was the son of Shlomo, four generations after Rus entered Klal Yisrael and her descendants. It was only then that Naama Ha'amonis entered Klal Yisrael and had Rechavam as part of the Malchus. And now the Gemara goes back to the sugya that we are holding in Horius, which is the inyan of a Nasi and a Kohen Mashiach and a Hedjit who do an Aver B'shoi. Tana Rabbanu, we learned Tana Braisa. The Pasuk says, in Vayikra Dalid, Chof Zayin v'im nefesh achas techato b'shkog mei amo oretz basoisa achas mi'mitzvah Hashem asher loyta yasena v'ashem. So it uses a lashon mei amo oretz, from the people of the land, which would seem to be not all the people of the land. Mei amo oretz, says the Gemara, prat l'mashiach. Mei amo oretz prat l'nasi, that they, a Mashiach and a Nasi, do not bring the kizban sira, which a hedjit who doesn't aver b'shoigeg brings. The Malbim learns it in a different way, that since it's Mei Amoritz, not from the Mem, that's what Rashi learns, V'loi Kol Amoritz, Mei Amoritz. But the Malbim learns Mei Amoritz means the commoner, but not a chash of a person like a Kohen Mashiach or a Nasi. Ask the Gemara, what do I need such a miyut V'loi Kvar Yotsu? We know that they don't bring a Kizbar Asir, which a Hedja brings, because Mashiach Lidon Bepar, Mashiach brings a Par, Nasi Lidon Besar. The Torah says Beferish that a Nasi has to bring a Sawyer. So what do I need this Miyad from Mei Amoritz? So the Gemara says, Sheyachal, I would have thought, Mashiach, Ekoy Mashiach, Al Helim Dover Im Shigas Maisa maybe Par. As we learned in yesterday's Shir, when does the Koy Mashiach bring a Par? That's only if he made a mistaken Psak. And then he was over the Aver B'Shoigeg based on his mistaken Psak. The mistaken Psak is called a Helam Dover with a Shigas Maisa. Then he brings a Par. But what about a Shigas Maisa L'Kudei? What happens if he thinks that this is Shuman and really it's Chela, but had nothing to do with a erroneous Psak? So then maybe Kizbu is here. I would have thought that then he doesn't bring a Par, but he brings a Korban that a Hedjit brings. Talmud Lomer Me'am Oretz, Prat L'Mashiach. That's why I need the Mi'ud of Me'am Oretz, except for Mashiach, he never brings the Kizba or the Seira. He won't bring a Par because he didn't have Helm Dover, but he won't bring a Kizba or Seira either because he's Nismayet from Me'am Oretz. And then we also make a Miyat Me'am Oretz, Prat Lo Nasi, as the Gemara. Tinech Mashiach, it's good what you learned Mashiach, as we just learned. Ela Nasi, Nasi, you're telling me you were Me'amid from Me'am Oretz? B'shigas Maisa Huda Maisi. That's exactly when a Nasi brings his special Korban of Sawyer. So the kasha comes back by a nasi. What do I need a meat from Me'am Oretz? Prat l'nasi. We know that the Torah says when there's a shigas maisa by a nasi without helam dover, that's exactly when he brings a male goat, a sawyer. So what are you being memayed by nasi from me'am oretz? Amr Rav Zvid, mishmei derava hachamayisik, and here we're speaking about kugoyin, she'achl kizayis chaylev, kishu edget. He ate a kizayis of chaylev when he was a hedget, v'nismana, and then he was appointed to be the nasi, v'achach noydaloy, and then he found out that he had done an aveira. So sal kadadrim, and I would have thought, nasi kizbasira. Maybe he should bring a kizbasira, kamash malon, that he does not bring a kizba or a se'ira. I would have thought since he did the Aveira when he was a Hedjit, he should bring a Kizbasira. Kamash will not. Ask the Gemara. That will be totally the Machlois we learned in yesterday's share between Rav Shimon and the Rabbanan. Ha, Nichla Rav Shimon Dasal Bas Yediyah. We learned that Rav Shimon holds there are two criteria for a person to be Chayiv on his Korban. He has to do the Aveira at the same time as he has the Yediyah. But if he did the Aveira when he was a Hedjit, for example, and then he had the Yediyah when he was in the Sman and became a Kayin Mashiach at two different times, then he'll bring nothing. He doesn't bring the Korban Hedget because he found out about it when he was a Kayin Mashiach. He doesn't bring the Kayin Mashiach because he did the Aver when he was a Hedget. You need both together. So then it'll be very good because we'll say, where does in fact Rav Shimon know that if the Yediyah was as a Hedget and the knowing about it when he found out about it was when he was a Nasi, how do I know that he doesn't bring the Korban like the time of the Chet of Kizbasira? That I know from Me'am Oretz, that he had to be a Hedget the whole time. And if he changed his status, he would not bring a Korban of a Hedget. So that's a good limit according to Rav Shimon. El Rabbanan da'azli Basar Chet, but according to Rabbanan who do go after Basar Chatoa, do go after the Zman of Chet, they in fact say that in that situation where he did the Chet as a Hedget and he found out about it when he was a Nasi, he would bring the Korban of a hedget. He would bring a kizba of sira. So Ma'ikal Amemus, so what is Me'am Oretz being Memayat according to Rabban? Elam Rabbi Zvid, Mishmeidu Rabba, Hachav Ma'iskin. Here we're speaking about Kigoyin Sha'achal Chatzi Kizayis Chelev Kishu Hedget. He ate a half a kizayis of Chelev when he was a hedget, Vinismana. Then he was appointed as a Nasi, Vishlimo. He ate the other half, V'achach Noyle, and then he found out that he did the Aver. Salkdal Chamina, Nitzdar Finaisi Kizba Sira. I would think that we should be mitzarev the half of a nasi to the half of a hedget, and he should bring the kizbasir kamash malon. That even according to the rabbanon, even though as the meforshim explained, everything here would tell us to be mitzarev. For example, he ate b'chdei achilas pras. Achilas pras is a half a loaf, which the loaf is 8 eggs or 6 eggs, and therefore half a loaf would be depending on different shitas 3 eggs or 4 eggs. The time it takes to eat that amount, which varies, there's different shitas, but from 2 minutes to 9 minutes, there are different shitas in the poiskim, but he ate it b'chdei achilas pras, and he didn't have a yediyah ben tayim between the two halves, because if he had a yediyah right after the first half, that again would split up the two halves. So all those conditions are not present. He has everything, k'dei achilas pras, there's no yediyah in between, there's nothing to split it up. But the fact that he ate a half as a hedget, and then the other half, he ate after he became the Nasi, that's what the Torah is telling us, that Me'am Oretz, that since he wasn't a Hedget the full time, he does not bring a Kizbasira. Rashi says that Hu Adin, we could say that he wouldn't bring a Sawyer as a Nasi either, because half of the Kizayis he ate when he was a Hedget. Why does the Gemara only focus on not bringing Kizbasira? The answer is because the Gemara is focusing on the Pasuk of Me'am Oretz. So Me'am Oretz is the Miut that teaches us that he doesn't bring a Kizbasira because he didn't eat the whole thing as a Hedget. Ein Echanami, the Halacha is also that he doesn't bring a Soir as a Nasi does, because only half was during the time of Nasi and the other half was by Hedget. He brings nothing. That's how we would learn Me'am Oretz according to the Rabbanan. Boy, Rav Nachman. Rav had a question that he asked Rav Nachman. Nesius, ma'u shit hafsik. Can Nesius itself be a divider and not let the two chatzik hazesim be mitzarev? Hey, chidami. What is the case where it's only the Nesius being nismane as appointed as a nasi that could divide it, that we have a shiloh? What's the case? Kegoin, she'achol chatzik hazayis chelev kishu hedget. He ate half a kizayis of chelev when he was a hedget. V'nismane v'avar. He was appointed as a nasi. And then something happened, and immediately he was non-appointed. He was removed from office. V'shlimoy. And then he ate the other half. So it comes out that all this happened within a few minutes, apparently. Otherwise, it wouldn't be v'chnei achilas pras. So certainly it would not be mitzarf. But within a few minutes, he became nasi, and he was removed from his nasius. And he ate the first half before he was made nasi. He ate the second half after he was removed from office. So it comes out that both halves were eaten when he was a hedjit. So what is in between both halves? His being appointed as a nasi. So hasam, in the case that we had before, where he ate a half of kezias as a hedjit, and the other half he ate as a nasi, hu deloy mitzarf. Then we say it's not mitzarf. That's what I learned out of me'ama oritz to be memai in such a case. Why? Da'achila palgi kishu hedjit, da'achle palgi kishu hedjit, upalgi kishu nasi. Because he ate half of the kezias when he was a hedjit, and half when he was a nasi. You cannot put the two together. That's what the Torah is telling you from me'ama oritz. Aval hocha, the idi ve'idi kishu hedjit. But over here, where both were eaten when he was a hedjit, kishu hedjit achle, he ate them both when he was a hedjit, mitzarif. Maybe then they are mitzarif. Oidil maloishna. Or maybe we should say there is no difference. The fact is that it was split up, and the nasius divides it, just like not eating b'chdei achilas pras divides it, just like having a yedin between divides it. So being changed into another position and then removed from that position, that's also a divider, and the two halves will not be able to be mitzarif. And so the Gemara says, Tifshid le'maha, I think we can answer it from the following. Da'amar ulam Rabbi Yochanan, ochel chel of hivrish korban. If a person ate chel of b'shoigi, and he separated korban, behimir, then he became an apikaris. The chazer boy, and then he did tshuva, and now he's no longer an apikaris. So what happens with that korban which he separated? The halach is he cannot bring it as a korban. Why? Hoyel v'nitcha yitcha. Since he pushed away the ability to bring that korban because a mummer can't bring a korban, so memeil it remains pushed away. So the same thing will be here. Since in between the two halves of the kezias, he was a nasi where he could not bring the korban of a hedjit, once it's pushed away, it's pushed away. That will be my proof, says the Gemara. Hachi hashta. How can you compare one to the other? Mummer lav barasuyu korbanu. A mummer can't bring any korban. Hi. But a nasi barasuyu korbanu. A nasi we know brings a sawyer. The only reason we had in the Gemara before that if he ate half as a hedjit and half as a nasi, they can't be mitzarf, is because it's two different korbanis. The nasi brings one korban, the hedjit brings another korban. You can't add them together, either to bring the korban as a nasi or to bring the korban of a hedjit. But again, our question comes back here, where before the minui and after the minui, he is and was a hedjit. Maybe we could be mitzarf to two halves. So the Gemara doesn't answer this. In fact, after the next case, the Gemara says teiku, and l'chayr, the next teiku of the next shayla that we're going to have will go on this shayla as well, that the Gemara does not come to a conclusion. We have to wait for Eliyo to answer this question. Tishbi Yitaretz, kufshoyz ve'i boyoyz. Now let us see the next question. Boy, minei Rav Zerim Rav Sheshes. Ocho, sofik chelu v'yishuad. We know that there's such a concept of oshem toli. Anything for which a person would be chayav a chatas b'shoigeg, if he has a suffik whether he was over, he has a suffik whether he ate chelev or not, he brings an ashem toli until he can find out definitely whether he ate the chelev or not. Now the question is, what about in this scenario? Ochel suffik chelev shu hedjit. He ate a suffik chelev when he was a hedjit. Vin nismana, he became appointed as a nasi. Vin noidel leos sveker, and then he found out, when he ate the suffik chelev in the beginning, he thought it was shuman. He only after he became a nasi did he find out that the thing that he ate was in fact a suffik, whether it was chelev or shuman. What is the din? Does he bring an ashem toli now that he's a nasi or not? So the Gemara explains the question. I'll leave it to Rabbanan da Azli Basar Chata. According to Rabbanan, that say you always go after the time of the chet, and you do not go like Rav Shimon after the time of the yediyah as well, but the only criterion is the chet. Like the boil up, then there's no question. The Maisi Ashim Tali, that he brings an Ashim Tali. Just like if he did the Avera and he only found out as a hedjit, and he only found out that he did the Avera after he became a Nasi, the Rabban and hold that he brings a Chatas of a hedjit, because we go after the time of the Chet. So too, concerning the Suffolk Chet that he did, he'll bring an Ashim Tali because we go after the time of the Suffolk Chet that he did, he'll bring an Ashim Tali. Alakita Baloy Allah Rabbi Rabbi Shimon. When do I have a question? According to Rabbi Shimon, who goes after Chet and Yediyah. So do I say, Mid Ishtani Levadai Ishtani Lesavik? Since the halach is that when it concerns a Chatos, so we say that if the Chet was done during one status of his life as a hedget. And the Yediyah came at a different status when he's already a Nasi. So since they both didn't happen at the same time, Rav Shimon Shita is that he doesn't bring the korban of a yachid, of a hedget. He doesn't bring the korban either of a Nasi. And Rashi says that by the suffix will be the same thing. And Rashi, five lines from the bottom on the right-hand column, says, Lefi shenishtane gufa. The hedget to a nasi, it's like a different person doing the avera. The hashtu nismanu mid ishtanu lekorban vadai ishtanu nami lekorban suffik. Since there's a difference concerning a chatas that you don't bring according to Reb Shimon, if the chet and the yediyah were at two different times of his life, two different status areas, so then he doesn't bring the chatas. So the same thing will be for a ashim tali, for a suffik. Upatir ve'ein mevin ashim tali. It's like two different people did the avera, and since you need the chet and the yediyah at the same time, if the halach is you don't bring the korban of a chatas, you don't bring the ashim tali either. That's one way to look at it. Or maybe ki ishtani levadai the ishtani korban today. By a vadai, Reb Shimon holds that there is a total change from a kizbet and a sira to a korban of a nasi, which is a sawyer. But aval hacha, but here where he did the avera when he was a hedget, he did the suffik avera when he's a hedget, and a nasi who does a suffik avera, and he knows that he did the suffik avera, the chet and the yediyah were both at the same time when he was a nasi, so the halacha is that he brings an ashim tali. The nasi does not have a different korban concerning ashim tali than a regular hedget. So since by a nasi he brings a ashim tali just like a hedget, aval hacha de lo yishtani korban today, ein malaisi ashim tali. Then even though by a vadai there's a change from hedget to nasi, there is no change by an ashim tali. So we don't care if he did, the chet was done as a hedget and the yediyah was as a nasi. The fact is that a hedget and a nasi are common together, the same ashim tali. So then it shouldn't make a difference that he now has a different status. Or no, we say the Ashim Tali has the same halacha as a chatas vadei. If you can't bring a chatas, you can't bring the Ashim Tali that's always brought in a suffik if you did the chet for which you would have to bring a vadei chatas. Whatever the din is of the vadei, so the din is by the suffik. Or no, this is the question. And on this, the Gemara says teiku, and l'chayra, this teiku also goes on the shal before, which we have not been able to resolve. Continues the Gemara, a ton of Rabbanan. The Rabbanan learned in the Braisa, mei amoretz, again using the same mute, mei amoretz, and not every amoretz, prat lemumr. This excludes that any mumr would not bring the korban of a hedget of a kizba or a seira if he did an aver of b'shaygeg. Rab Shimon bar Yosi Oimer Mishum Rab Shimon Asher Loisei Asena Bishkogav Hashem. We find this pasuk by a nasi, where it says, next to this pasuk of Loisei Asena Bishkogav Hashem, he did an aver which you're not supposed to do Bishkogig, and he committed a crime. And next to it, it says Oyhoida Elov Chatasei, or he became known that he did an avera. So since there is a juxtaposition between doing the avera b'shaygeg and the yediyah, so from this, Rab Shimon learns, hashav b'yediyasei mevi korban b'shaygegasei. If someone, when he finds out that he did an avera b'shaygeg, would retract and would have charata that he did that avera and would not do it again, that person brings a korban. And this excludes a mummer, loishav b'yediyasei, any maybe korban b'shaygegasei. But a person who, even when he finds out that he did an aver b'shaygeg, that would not stop him from doing the avera again, like a mummer, such a person would not bring a korban. So it seems to be that there are two limudim, and the Tanakam and Reb Shimon are saying the exact same thing. On that, the Gemara asks, my b'naya, what is the difference between them? Halachically, it seems to be just a different limud. And the Gemara says, no, there's an actual nafkamina between the Tanakama and Reb Shimon. Amar Rav Amnuna, mumr lechol chelev umevi korban al adam ikke b'nayu. We're speaking about a person who is a mumr to eat chelev. However, he will refrain from eating dam. And the Meforshim explain that both shitas here, the Tanakam and Reb Shimon, are of the opinion that if someone is a mumer on one avera, that does not make him a mumer for the entire Torah. However, chelev and dam may be an exception to the rule, because both are written in the same pasuk together, kol chelev v'chol dam loisei chelu. They are both a chi of chorus. They're both things that are brought on the mizbeach, and therefore it could be here, if someone is a mummer on Chaylev, he will also be considered a mummer on Dam. And that's what the Tanna Kamma holds. The Tanna Kamma holds that even if he's a person, that once he finds out that this is Dam, he will not want to eat it again, this item he will not want to eat. That could be just because he is repulsed. The Dam is repulsive to him. But since we see that he doesn't hesitate to eat Chaylev, then we say that Be'etzim he would eat the dumb also if it would not be repulsive to him. And therefore, that's not considered, according to the Tanna Kamma, a shav mi'idiyasei. Since chelev and dumb are linked together, therefore I say if he's a mumar on chelev, he's a mumar on dumb as well. Whereas Rav Shimon says no. Since after the fact, if he finds out that what he consumed, not realizing it, was in fact dumb, and even if it's repulsive to him, but that would stop him from doing the Avera again, that is considered a shav mi'idiyasei, and therefore he would be able to bring a korban for having eaten the dam b'shaygeg. Mar Sover continues the Gemara. The Tanna Kamma holds kivim the mumer lechel chaylev l'dam nami mumer havi. Since he's a mumer concerning chaylev, he's also considered a mumer for dam, as we explained. Umar Sover and Reb Shimon holds l'dam miyashav b'yidiyasu. The fact is that once he finds out that the item that he ate inadvertently was in fact dumb, he would not want to eat that again for whatever reason. That is called the shav b'yidiyasu, and he is able to bring a carbon. Ask the Gemara of our Rava Amar. Rava stated the Kuli Alma Mumer Lechol Chaylev Lavi Mumer the Dam. Rava stated that somebody who's a Mumer Teet Chaylev is not considered a Mumer Teet Dam. So how do we understand the machlokes between the Tanna Kamma and Rav Shimon according to Rava? Says the Gemara, Lahachav Ba'oichel Nevelu Te'oven. The machlokes between the Tanna Kamma and Rav Shimon is not by a Mumer Lahachis, but by a Mumer Te'oven. What is the difference between a Mumer Lahachis and a Mumer Te'oven? So Rashi, on the left-hand column, approximately 15 lines down, on the Divrei Maaseh Lahachas, says the definition of Lahachas. The Islei Hetera V'Ochel Isura. Lahachas means he has in front of him kosher meat and non-kosher meat. And let's say even that they're the same price, and there's no difference between them. And he Lahachas, Bedafka. Hashem says I shouldn't eat treif. I'm going to eat treif, even though there's no difference to me. That's Lahachas. Mumer L'Te'oven is that if he has kosher meat available, then he'll eat the kosher meat. He's not lahachas going to eat treif. However, if it's difficult for him to get, he has to go out of his way to get the kosher meat, it's more expensive to get the kosher meat, he has other reasons why he doesn't want to eat the kosher meat, then he'll eat treif. But if all things being equal, he'll avada eat kosher. So the question is that considered a mumer or not? Says the Gemara, lahacha ba'oichel nevelu te'oven. He's only eating the nevela because he has a desire for it. Vinis chalufloi b'shuman. He didn't even realize that it was non-kosher. He thought it was shuman, it was kosher. V'ochle, and he ate it. In that is the machlokes kamiflagi between the Tanna Kamma and Reb Shimon. Marsover, the Tanna Kamma holds. Kivin de tleyoven ochle b'mezit. Since, if in fact, it's difficult for him to get the kosher meat, he'll eat b'mezit knowingly. He'll eat the treif meat. So mumuri is considered a mumu. Marsover and Reb Shimon holds, no. If he could find the heter, he would not eat the isur. Lav mumer, he's not considered a mumer. That's why the Tanna Kamma learns it out. May amor, it's prat la mumer. Even a mumer l'teyoven is excluded. However, Reb Shimon says no. It's dependent on shav midiyasei. And since this person, if he would have available kosher meat, he would eat the kosher. So that's he's considered a shav midiyasei, and therefore he would be able to bring a korban. Tana Rabban, the Rabban learned in a brisa. Ochel chaylev, a person ate chaylev zehu mumer. That is a mumer. If he bemeis it, eats chaylev. Ve'ezehu mumer. And then, surprisingly, the brisa asks, and who is considered a mumer? Ochel nevelus atrevis. A person who ate a carcass of an animal that was did not have shechita. Nevel treifa, an animal that died because of a wound that made the animal not able to survive. Shkotzim v'remashim, and they ate the different shrutzim of the Torah, which are an abomination and creeping things. Vishasi yaynes, or a person drank yaynes, that is a mummer. Rav Yehuda Omer, afal levish klayim, even somebody who wears klayim. And now the Gemara is going to explain this brice. Omer mar. And the Gemara right away has an immediate question, which we all have. The brice starts out, ochel chelev, zehu mummer. And then the brice says, ve'ezehu mummer, ochel nevelis. You just told me at the beginning, who's a mummer? A person who eats b'mezit chalev. And then you ask the question, who's a mummer? And you give a different answer with nevel streifus. What's going on? My kamar. What exactly is the Tana of the Braisa saying? Amar rabba rabchana rabbi yechon achi kamar. Achol chalev l'teyoven harez a mummer. If you want to know the definition of a person who is a mummer l'teyoven, that's a v'yeit chalev l'teyoven. However, what's a mummer l'hachis? Harezet stuki. Or the Masar Shashas brings down that some had the girsa. He's a min. The Ezel Mummer, the Bistam Eit Stuki, which Mummer is considered a Stuki, who's considered a Min, which means he's a Mummer Lahachis, Heavy Yomar would say, Oichel Nevelu Treif, if he ate a carcass of an animal. As Rashi explains that these items, the first four items that are mentioned here in Nevelu Treif, Shkatsu Mashim, are things that Nafshe Shalotim is Katsubahan. It's disgusting, it's repulsive to a person to eat a carcass. Or Treifa. Now Treifa, we'll have to explain, means not that he did a regular Shchita, and then they found out that there was a nick in the knife that caused it to become a trefa, but rather its neck was broken and it died a slow death, and therefore this also is disgusting for a person. If a nick was found in the knife, but actually it was a maisa shchita, that itself would not be repulsive. Here we're speaking about things that are repulsive to a person. Shkatz of Ramashim, we don't have to explain why these creeping, crawling things are repulsive to a person. So if he still eats these things, Rashi says, that's a raya that he's doing it, lahakas, against the Torah. Then it says a fifth thing, v'shasa yayin nesach. Now yayin nesach itself is not repulsive. And here the reason why it's considered a mumal lahakas is because yayin nesach is associated with avoid a zara. Now, what is the difference if a person is a mummer, or he's considered a tztuki, a min? The nafgamina is, for example, various nafgaminas. One nafgamina would be concerning his shchita. The shchita of a mummer under certain circumstances could be kosher. The shchita of a min, a mummer lahakas, Rashi says, we assume that he shechted for avodah zarah, memelos aser bano. Another nafgamina would be concerning writing a Sefer Torah. A mummer wrote a Sefer Torah, the Sefer Torah has to be buried. A min who wrote a Sefer Torah, the Sefer Torah has to be burnt. Continues the Gemara, explaining the sheet of Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda, who says, Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda, Omer, af haloivish klayim. A person who puts on klayim, he's also considered a mummer. Ask the Gemara, my benaya, what's the nafkamina between the Tanakama and Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda? Chelev of the Tanakama and klayim of Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda are both zaraisa. So of course, either one is something that would make a person a mummer. Says the Gemara, but now climb the Rabbanan, if the climb is only the Rabbanan. As Rashi explains, the word shatnes, chazal darshan, stands for three processes which happen in the making of a garment. Shatnes stands for shua, tova, venus. Shua means the combing of fibers before the spinning takes place, and the person combs linen and wool together and makes a felt from it. Shua is the spinning of the fibers, and nuz is the ariga, is the weaving. Now, if a person did only one of these three processes, for example, he did only shua, he only combed the fibers together, the linen and the wool, so that would only be an issur derabbanan. The question is, does that make a person a mummer? So the Tanakhama says that it is only chelev and not klayim derabbanan. Mar sover mid araisa avi mummer. If it would be klayim mid araisa, if it would be linen and wool woven throughout the garment, which would be an issur deraisa, so that would be like chelev, that would be a mummer. But derabbanan lo avi mummer. Mar sover and Rabbi Yosi, but Rabbi Yehuda holds klayim kiven the mefarsim isurei afilu derabbanan avi mummer. Since this is a famous issur that everybody knows about, and yet the person is doing it, he's considered a mummer even on issur derabbanan. The Miri points out that even according to Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda, if it would be an issur derabbanan that people are not aware of, then he would not be considered a mummer even according to Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda. And then the Gemara says, "Pligi bar Ravacha Ravina." There's a machloekz between Ravacha Ravina. Chada Amar l'teyavin mummer l'hachas stuki. One says, like the derech that we had in the Gemara before, that a mummer l'teyavin is considered a mummer, but a mummer l'hachas is a stuki, and as we a min, and as we mentioned, there are nafkimin is l'halacha between a mummer and a min. The chada Amar l'hachas nami mummer. That even if he does it l'hachas, he's also only considered a mummer. El ezel stuki, who's considered a min, a stuki, call ha'oyved avodas chavim, a person who serves avodas zar. Meisav, we asked the Gemara, l'chayre, it'll be difficult on the man d'yomer, who says that it's only if you serve avodas zar, because we learned, achal pirish, a person ate a flea,
echot or yitush echot or one gnat, harei zeh mumer, he's a mumer. V'hocha, the lahachasu, he's eating a disgusting, creeping, crawling thing, which is repugnant to a person. So why is he eating it? Only lahachas, because Hashem says don't eat it, so he says, I will eat it. And yet, what do we call him? We don't call him a min, we call him a mumer, v'kakorle mumer, and not a min. So it's difficult on the man the omer, who says that a mumer lahachis is considered a min. From here you see that a mumer lahachis is only a mumer and he's not a min. Answers the Gemara, hosum da omer etoim tam disur. Normally a mumer lahachis is a min. But here we heard him saying, oh, I want to eat that because I think I'm going to like it and I want to get the taste of what the Torah asked. Not that I'm doing a lahachas against Hashem, but I'm doing it l'tayovim because I have a desire for this certain bug. So therefore, it's considered, in this particular case, it's considered a mumer l'tayovim and not a mumer lahachas, but normally it would be a mumer lahachas, and a mumer lahachas, ein echanami, is considered a min. Continues the Gemara to explain the mission of Ezu Nasi, what in the Torah is considered a Nasi, who has to bring Bishargei Korban, Sa'ir, Zeh, Melech, that's a king, Tana Rabbana, Rabbana learned in the Braisa, Nasi, the Torah says the word Nasi, Yochel Nasi, Shevet, Nachshon Ben Aminadav, perhaps it's a Nasi of one of the Shvatim, like Nachshon Ben Aminadav, Talmud Leimer, no, it says that he did an Avera, Mikol Mitzvah Hashem Alikav, Bishargei, he did from all the Mitzvahs of Hashem, his God, Ulhalano Aimer, I make Xerah Shavah, to what I find further in the Torah, in Dvorim, Perek Yitzayim, Pasuk Yutes, when it speaks about Soim Tosim Alecha Melech, the Pasuk says he should keep a Sefer Torah with him all the time. Laman Yilmid, Liyuris Hashem, Eloi Kav, as we turn to the Yud Aleph Amud Beis, Malahan, just like over there, by Soim Tosim Alecha Melech. So She'en Al Gabav El Hashem Lekav, there's only on top of the Melech, only Hashem. He answers to no one except Hashem. So Af Nasi, She'en Al Gabav El Hashem Lekav. So I learn out from the over there where it says Liyuris Hashem Lekav, I learned to over here that he did Mikol Mitzvahs Hashem Alikov, just like over there it's speaking about a Melech who has nobody on top of him, so too Hashem Alikov over here is the Nasi refers to a Melech who has no one on top of him. Boy, Minei Rebbe Reb Chiya, Rebbe who was the Nasi after the Churban Beis Hamikdash, asked a theoretical question to Reb Chiya, going ani. For example, I who am the Nasi, Mao Besarv, if I had lived, Rashi explains at the time of the Beis Hamikdash, and I had done an Aver B'Shargi, would I bring a Sa'ir? Do I have the status of a Nasi? Because at the time of Rebbe, there was no Melech. So he is the highest in Klal Yisrael. Perhaps he has a din of a Melech, Amar Leir, but he responded, Harei Tzaraska B'Bavol, Yur Tzara. In other words, the one who is like you in Bavel, you have a similar person to you in Bavel, which is the Reish Galusa. So Memela, you're not considered to be the highest because you have a contemporary like you. So actually, Rashi says that the Amaleh, Reish Oscha B'Bavel, four lines from the top on the right-hand column, says Rashi, Reish Galusha B'Bavel, Dehav Al-Gabach, V'anan B'inon, She'en Al-Gabach, V'el Hashem L'Kav. So Rashi says that the Reish Galusa, as we're going to see in a few lines in the Gemara, was really considered more powerful than Rebbe. So what Reb Chiya was really saying to Rebbe was that you are not the top person because you have on top of you a Reish Galusa, and therefore you would not bring the Korban like a Melech. And on that, Rebbe asks him the following question, Eisvei. We see Malchi Yisrael, Malchi Beis David, at the time when Klal Yisrael was split into two kingdoms. So if the king of Yisrael or the king of Beis David would sin, the halacha is, Bishraigeg, the halacha is, Elu Mavim La'atzman, Elu Mavim La'atzman. Each one would bring a korban as a nasi of a sawyer, Bishraigeg. So we see that when you have two equal monarchies, each king is considered that on top of him is Ein Al Gabav El Hashem L'Kav. So Rebbe's asking, you're telling me I have a Tzar in Bavel, but I see from Malchi Yisrael, Malchi Beis David that they both bring. Why are you telling me I won't bring? Amalei, Hasim, Le'Kaifei Adadi. Over there, one is not subordinate to the other. Hacha over here, Anan, we, Kaifina Lulididu, we are subordinate to the Reish Galusa in Bavel. So the Sefer Shar Yosef says a beautiful pshat over here. Because the Chayyim, we have to understand Rebbe's question. If he was telling him, like Rashi says, Harei Tzaraska B'Bavel, that you are subordinate to the Reish Galusa in Bavel. So what was Rebbe asking him from Malchi Yisrael, Malchi Beis David? There they were equal to each other. But in your case, you are subordinate to the Reish Galusa in Bavel. So the Shar Yosef explains that Rebbe, we know, was a tremendous anav. So he literally took Reb Chiya at his words. Reb Chiya said, Tzaraska B'Bavel, you're like two women who are
wives of one person, each one's called a tzora to the other. So Rabbi Chiya, in deference to the position of Rebbe, and he didn't want to embarrass him or humiliate him, said to Rebbe, the one who's equal to you. So Rebbe asked the Kasha, if you're saying he's equal, then I have a question from Malchi Yisrael, Malchi Beis David. There we find you do, each king brings. So why are you telling me that I shouldn't bring? So, but really, Rashi's telling you that what Rebbe Chiya really meant to say was that you're under him, but he didn't want to say it in a way to hurt Rebbe. But Rebbe and his anivus took Rebbe Chiya at face value. He didn't think that Rebbe Chiya was giving him kavod because of Rebbe's great anivus. So then, what did Rebbe Chiya answer to the question of Malchi Yisrael, Malchi Beis David? He said, he spelled it out clearer. But, and even then he was sensitive to Rebbe. Armalei hasam loy kaifadari hocha anan we kaifinli. He didn't want to say you, because that would be hurting Rebbe, that he's under the Reish Galusa. He said, we are subordinate to the Reish Galusa. Rav Safra masni hochi. Rav Safra learned a little differently. Boy, mene Rebbe and Rebbe Chiya goyen ani mao besoyer. Armalei hasam shevet hocha mechoyki. The pasuk says, lo yasa shevet mehuda umechoyki ben raglov. The scepter should not be removed from Yehuda, and Mechokik is the legislature. Rashi says Mechokik means the Chacham should not leave Yehuda as well. So each part of this pasuk refers to another one of the heads of Klal Yisrael. Lo yatsa shevet Yehuda zeh reish galus shebavel. The one who has the scepter is the head, the reish galus and bavel. Sheroides Yisrael b'makel. He had the power given to him by the Persian authorities that he could rule over Yisrael with a rod. Rashi says that the scepter is equivalent to the makel, to the rod. He and Rashi and Sanhedrin tells us that the Reish Galusa had the power of Hefker Bezen Hefker, that he could take property of a Jew and make it Hefker, which the Nasi in Eretz Yisrael didn't have that power. What was the Nasi in Eretz Yisrael? What was Rebbe? Umechayki b'vein raglov. Elu b'nei bonav shel Hillel. These are the descendants of Hillel. Rebbe was the descendant of Hillel. Shemalamdim tar Yisrael b'rabim. Rebbe was the Chacham. He taught Torah to Yisrael b'rabim. He was a Mechokik. He was a legislature. He legislated the halachas, but he didn't have the power of the makel, of the shevet, the scepter, the power that the Persian monarchy had given over to the Reish Galusa, that Hillel did not have. So Hillel was subordinate to the Reish Galusa, and therefore on Hillel we would not say, Shein al gabav el Hashem alikav. And therefore Hillel would not bring a korban, as Reb Chiya explained. Tosfos in Sanhedrin tells us that even though both Rebbe and the Nasi in Eretz Yisrael and the Reish Galusa came from Yehuda, from Malchus Beis David, but Yerushalmi tells us that the Reish Galusa came from the Zecharim of Beis David, and Rebbe came, and all the Nasiim in Eretz Yisrael came from the Nekevis of Beis David, and therefore the power of the Zecharim was stronger than the power of the Nekevis, and that's why there was a greater power to the Reish Galusa in Bavel than to the Nasiim in Eretz Yisrael. Now, the Meiri points out that the Gemara doesn't say over here that both Rebbe, both the Nasi and the Reish Galusa, are under the Melech Poras. The Reish Galusa also had somebody on top of him. So that the Gemara doesn't bring up here. So the Meiri says this shows us that the fact that we're under a Gentile king is not a chesaron in Ein al gab of El Hashem Alikov. Or else Reb Chiya could have said to Rebbe that no one today is under directly under Hashem because we have the domination of the Gentile authorities. So that's not a criteria. The only criteria is there any Jewish person who is higher? So Reb Chiya told Rebbe, yes, the Reish Galusa is considered higher than you, and therefore, only because of the Reish Galusa, you would not bring a korban, but as a Nasi at the time of the Beis HaMikdash. But as far as a Goy is concerned, that would not be a problem of Ein Al Gab of El Hashem Alikov. So says the Meiri. Begins the Mishnah, Ve'ezehu HaMashiach, which one is the Kohen HaMashiach, who brings the par when he had a helm dover and a shigigas maisa, that is, says the Mishnah, Hamashuch b'shem ha-mishcha, the one who was anointed with shem ha-mishcha, loy hamaruba b'begadim, not the one who wore the eight begadim, as Rashi explains, in the time of Bayesheni, there was no longer any shem ha-mishcha, and the Kohen Gadol only wore eight begadim, he does not bring a par for a shigigas maisa with a helm dover. The Meiri tells us that likewise, a Kohen Meshuach Melchama, the Kohen who had Mashiach, who went out into battle, also does not bring a par. L'chaira, from this halacha, we would have a ha'ara on a famous yisoid of Reb Chaim Soloveitchik Zatzal, Reb Chaim Brisker, who says that by a regular Kohen Gadol, we find there are two institutions that cause the kedusha of a kohen gadol. One is the meshicha, the shemen ha-mishcha that he receives. The other is minui, is being appointed by Bezdin, by Sanhedrin, to take up the post of kohen gadol. Now, certain halachas of a kohen gadol, Reb Chaim says, comes from the meshicha. Other halachas comes from the minui. How do we know which halachas come from what? On that, we have the kohen meshuach mochama, who only has meshicha and doesn't have minui. So all the halachas that a kohen meshuach mochama has equal to a regular kohen gadol, we see that by a regular kohen gadol, that comes from the meshicha. All the halachas that a kohen meshuach mochama does not have similar to a kohen gadol, that comes from the minui. L'chayra, from the halacha we're learning here, it would be difficult, because a kohen meshuach mochama does not have the din of par, so that would indicate that that halacha comes from the fact that a regular kohen gadol is appointed as a kohen gadol. Then we would say that if he's a merubah begadim in the time of Bayesheni, where there was no shemana mishcha, but he did have an appointment to become a kohen gadol and thereby wear the shmeinah begadim, so he should bring a par, and yet the halacha is that he also doesn't bring a par. So l'chayra, this is difficult on Reb Chaim. I spoke to Rav Hagoyim Rav Hershe Shachter Shlita here at the OU, and he said, Ein Echanami, you'll have to say, as we'll see in the Gemara further, this is a special Gzeres HaKasov, that the Torah is telling us, A, that a kohen gadol, gabi the din of par, has to be have a shein kohen gadol, and on that a kohen meshuach mochama is not a kohen gadol, and likewise the kedusha that is causing him to bring a par has to be one that comes from the Shemana Mishcha, and not from minui. And therefore, a merubah begadim in the time of Bayesheni would not have this halacha. You'll have to say it's an exception to the rule of the yisoid that Reb Chaim Zitzal says. Continues the Mishnah. Ein bein kohen ha-mishuach b'mishemen ha-mishcha. As we find, the Mishnah Megillah says the same halacha. There is no difference between a kohen ha-mishuach with shemen ha-mishcha l'merubah begadim, ella par habo al kol ha-mitzvahs. The par that the kohen mishuach brings for his own helam dover, the par that is brought, that he brings on behalf of a mistake that was made, which Klal Yisrael followed, a mistake of Sanhedrin, par helam davar shel tzibur, which is called a par habal kol ha-mitzvahs from the lashon of the pasuk kol mitzvahs Hashem asher lo yisei asena. So those two parim only a meshuach b'shemen ha-mishcha brings, that kohen gadol, and a merubah begadim does not. Legabi all hadar halachas, they have the same dinim, says the Mishnah. And then we have two other kohanim gedolim, which the next part of the Mishnah will discuss. We have a kohen mishamish and a kohen she'avar. If a kohen gadol was, for example, tamei, and therefore he could not serve in the capacity of kohen gadol, so a substitute kohen gadol was appointed. And then when the first kohen becomes tor, he's able to resume his position. He is called the kohen mishamish. He takes back his old position, and the other, the substitute kohen, is removed from office, and he's called a kohen she'avar that was removed. But he has all the halachas of a kohen gadol, as we'll see in the Mishnah, except that's what the Mishnah is telling us here now. Ein ben kohen mishamish kohen she'avar ella par yom kippurim v'asiras eifa. Two halachas that there is a difference between the kohen mishamish and the kohen she'avar, and that is the special par that the kohen gadol had to bring from his own money on Yom Kippur to be mechaper bader bat beisai for entering the Beis Hamikdash bituma or eating kachim bituma, and also the special minchas chavitim, the mincha that was brought in a pan that the kohen gadol had have to be makriv every day, half in the morning and half in the afternoon, that the mincha was not brought by a kohen she'avar. All other dinim is the same, as the Mishnah now enumerates. Zev is as shavim b'avodas Yom Kippurim. Both of them can do all the korbanos of Yom Kippur, except, of course, the par Yom Kippurim of the chiper badu bad beisei, as the Mishnah mentioned before. Umetzuvim al psula, both of them can only marry a psula. Vasur al almana, they can not take an almana as a wife, which is also to both kohanim gedolim. Ve'enim etam mekorvim, they're not allowed to be tamed to their relatives. Ve'loi pyrim, they're not allowed to have long hair when a relative dies. Ve'loi parmim, they cannot tear kriya. Umachzir noritzeich, both of them, when they are nifter, a reitzeich b'shoigi, who's an ori miklat, will come back from the ori miklat. Legabi, all these halachas, they have the same dinim, a koyin hamishamish, and a koyin she'avar. Begins the Gemara Tana Rabbanan, the Rabbanan learned number Isa. Shemen HaMishcha Sha'asa Maishri Bamidbar. The Shemen HaMishcha that Maishri did in the Midbar, how did he do it? What was the process? We have a machlokes here between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Isa. Rabbi Yehuda's shita is, how you shulk, boy, they would boil the oil esa ikrim. In the oil, they would boil the roots, which Rashi, on the right hand column, the last Rashi brings the pasuk, which says va'ata kachalchop psamim roish mor dror. So all the psamim that are mentioned there in the parsha. In Shmois, Perik Lamed, where Hashem commands Moshe, Shem and Mishras Kodesh, Yezeli, so all those besamim were cooked up in the oil, and therefore the oil got the ikrim, the roots of all these besamim, it got the aroma of the besamim, and then the roots were removed from the oil, and that was the Shem and Mishra. Divi Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yossi Omer, Rabbi Yossi disagrees. He says to Rabbi Yehuda, Valoi losuch esa ikrim en esayfik. If you were to smear the oil on the roots, it would not be enough, because as Rashi points out, there were only Yud Beis Lugin of the Shemen, and there were many, many pounds of these ikrim, of the psamim. So even if you would smear the oil, the ikrim would absorb the oil. Kal v'chomer, if you're going to cook it. So for sure, the oil would dissipate and be absorbed into the roots. And there would be no Shemen Mishra left. Ella, you know how they did it? As follows, says Rabbi Yossi, Shiren esa ikrim b'maim. They would first soak the roots in water. And once they're soaked in water, Rashi says, they would now absorb the water. And then, therefore, when you're going to put the oil on them, subsequently, it's not going to absorb. Very small amount will absorb because it's already absorbed with water. Umeitziv olav shem. Then you pour the oil on top of the roots. V'koilet esa reyach, and the oil absorbs the aroma of the besamim, and v'kafchei, and then, as Rashi explains, quickly, you wipe off the oil that is on top of the roots, plus there is oil that has gathered at the bottom of the kli, and all that oil, which is not being absorbed into the roots, because the roots are saturated with water, very little of the oil will be absorbed, and that is now used, the remaining oil is used for the Shemen HaMishcha. What did Rabbi Yehuda answer back to Rabbi Yossi? Amar Rabbi Yehuda, you're wondering how there was enough oil. If you had very little oil and you had a lot of ikrim, why wasn't it absorbed? And you say, my process is not the way they did it. There were many nisim associated with the Shemen HaMishcha. This was another one of those nisim. V'chines echad nasa b'Shemen HaMishcha. There was only one miracle. V'aloi t'chilosoi shnei masar lugin. You started with 12 lugin. U'mimeno yanimshach mishkan v'kelev aron uban of kol shivas yimei miluim. All the days of the dedication of the mishkan, the 7 days of miluim. So the mishkan and the kelim and aron and his children were all smeared with this oil. V'kulei kanim l'asa lovei. And it all remains until the future. Shenemar, as the pasuk says, Shemen Mishras Kodesh yezel li that it's going to remain for your future doris, and that defies the imagination. How is it possible? Elamai was a nest. So my process, which you're right, naturally there should not have been any oil left. It should have been absorbed in the ikrim. That was also one of the nisim. Tanya Yedek, we learned in another b'raisa. From the beginning to the end, there were a lot of nisim associated with that Shemen HaMishcha. We started with 12 lugin. Re'eis. See, kama yarbalas, normally how much would a pot in which it was cooked, as Rabbi Yehuda goes to Shitasai, that it was cooked, not like the Shita of, Rabbi Yehuda goes to Shitasai that it was cooked, not like the Shita of Rabbi Yossi, that first they put the ikrim in the water. So look how much the pot absorbs. V'kama ikrim b'olam, how much the roots would absorb. V'kama arasarv, and how much the fire would burn off. Uboy, and yet with what was remaining after this whole process, with it nimshach mishkan v'kelev aron ubanav kol shivas yemei miluim uboy nimshul kaim gedolim umalaka. And now the Gemara digresses to tell us who was anointed with the Shemen HaMishcha. The din is afilu kain gadol ben kain gadol toy mishicha. It's not a Yerusha. It's not automatic that if the father was a Kohen Gadol and the son is going to be a Kohen Gadol, that you don't require Shemen HaMishcha. If the son is also a Kohen Gadol, he still requires Shemen HaMishcha. Without Shemen HaMishcha, he does not become a Kohen Gadol. Ve'ein Moishkin Melech Ben Melech. However, when it comes to Melucha, if the son is a Yoresh of the father, then you do not anoint the son. You will only anoint the one who begins the line of monarchy. So if the father was a king and the son was, the son does not receive Shemen HaMishcha. V'im taimer v'som v'nei ma mashchoi eshleima. So why, in fact, did they anoint Shleima? He was the son of David, and David already was the melech. The answer is, v'nei machlokoisoi shel Adonai Yo, because since Adonai Yo rebelled against David and he wanted to become the king, so when there's a machloikis, it's as if the line has been ruptured, and there's a new line of monarchy, and on a new line, just like David received Mashiach to begin with, so his son Shlomo, since it was considered a new line of monarchy because there was a rupture due to the Machlokes of Adonai Yo, then it does require Shemen HaMishcha. And Ves Yoyish from the Atalia.
Yayash became king, also with a machlokes with Atalia. So Yayash, although his father was the melech, but he also required Shem and Amishu because of the machlokes. Ves Yayach is Bnei Yayakim, Shayagal Mimenu Shnei Shtanim. When Yayashio died, he left over two sons. Yoyachas was 23 years old. Yoyachim was 25 years old. When Yoyachas, the younger son, became the king, then he had to require Shemana Mishra because of the Machlokes of Yoyachim, who said, rightfully, I should be the king because I'm older. So because of that, because of the Machlokes, they gave Shemana Mishra even to a Ben Melech. The oisu shemen and that oil kaim lost at lava. It's going to remain to the future as well. Shenem or shemen mishkos kodesh. Yes, ze lidudar seichem. Ze begematri shenem asur lugim hayu. Ze, if you count the numerical value of ze, it's 12. These are the 12 lugim which it will remain in its entirety as if nothing had been used from it. That was a miracle that was associated with the shemen mishka, that the whole 12 lugim, although it was used over and over again to anoint Kohanim Gedolim and anoint kings, and yet it's going to last. Omer Mar, we learned before, Vafilu Kohen Gol Ben Kohen Gol, Tom Mashiach, I mean, how do you know this? The Chsiv, Vakohen HaMashiach Tachtav Mibarav, if his son replaces him, the Kohen HaMashiach, name a crow, Vakohen Mitachtav Mibarav, why do you stick in the word HaMashiach, my HaMashiach? You could say it, HaKohen Tachtav Mitachtav Mibarav, the one who's replacing him. Kamash Malon, therefore, since we put in the word HaMashiach, the Mibon of the Kohen Gadol, even if you're a son of a Kohen Gadol, it depends. Iyav HaMashiach Havi Kohen Gadol. If you get Shemon HaMashiach, you are a Kohen Gadol. Ve'i Loi. And if you don't receive Shemon HaMashiach, Loi Havi Kohen Gadol, you're not a Kohen Gadol. Omer Mar, we learned before. Ve'ein Moshe Melech B'Melech Melech. How do you know by Meluch it goes by Yerusha, and a Melech B'Melech would not, unless there was a Machlokes, would not receive Shemon HaMashiach. Omer Rav, Achav Bar Yaakov Dechsev. The Pasuk says about a king, Laman, Yarech Yomim, Al Mamlachtoi. Rashi brings the end of the Pasuk, who Ubanav Bekar of Yisrael. So I learn out, Yerusha Hilachem. It's a Yerusha that a father can give over to his son. Ask the Gemara Minol Nechika Machlokes by Mashiach. How do we know that when there's a Machlokes, you need Mashiach? Velav called the boy Malchus Moiris, Malchus Lebnei. And the king does not have the jurisdiction to give over to Malchus to whoever he wants. Amar Rav Papa, Amar Kra, who one of Bekar of Yisrael, Bizman Shesholim Yisrael, when it's Bekar of Yisrael, in the midst of all Jews, there's Achdus, there's peace in Yisrael, then Karina Behu Banav, Vafilu Bulai Mashiach, then you don't need Mashiach, Mashiachin, if there's a Machlaikis in Yisrael, then, as we explained before, it's considered like a new monarchy's beginning, and therefore it requires, it's not considered Melch by Melch, and then it will require Shemana Mishka. Tana, we learned, in a Braisa, Af Yeyu Ben Nimshil, and Nimshach, Elam Ibn Machlokaisai Shel Yairam. When after, when Achav was Nifter, Hashem told Elisha that he should make Yehu ben Nimshi the king, and he should not make Yehoram, which is Yoram, the son of Achav the king, and therefore the Brisa says that Yehu received Shemana Mishka because of the Machloikas of Yoram. Ask the Gemara, we learned that the only time you don't need Shemana Mishka is if it's Melech ben Melech. But when you're starting a new line of monarchy, even a Machloikas, a son is considered like a new line of monarchy, and therefore you need Shemana Mishka. So why are you telling me because of Machloikas, that's why Yehu had it? Yehu was starting a new line of monarchy. His father was Nimshi, and the previous ruler was Achav. So if so, the table of Mishum Derishanu, he's the beginning, and therefore he requires Shemana Mishka, not because of Machloikas. So the Gemara says there's something missing. Once we put in what's missing, we'll understand and what we said about Yehu. Chesuri Mechser Achitari. Malchei Beis David Meshuchin, Malchei Yisrael and Meshuchin. The only ones who receive Meshicha are the Malchei Beis David, but the Malchei Yisrael do not receive Meshicha. So therefore, since Yehu was from Malchei Yisrael, normally he would not receive Mashiach, even if he was a new line of monarchy, the first one. So the only reason he received Mashiach, being a Melech Yisrael, is because of the Machlaikas. And because of the Machlaikas, even a Melech Yisrael received Mashiach. Menolon, how do you know the Melech Yisrael do not receive Mashiach? Amar Rav, Amar Kra, Kum, Hashem told Shmuel, Mashcheyu, be Moshech David, ki zeh. This is the one who I am making into a king. Vayayimar Hashem, Kum Mashcheyu, ki zehu. This boy who you're bringing me, David, this is the one that I'm making. So we learn out, Zeh Ton Mashiach, Vein Acher Ton Mashiach, only Malchus Beis David, David is beginning the monarchy of Beis David, that requires Mashiach. But Malchus Yisrael do not require Mashiach. Amar Mar, we learned before, Af Yehu Ben Nimshi, Lo Nimshach, Elv Bnei Machlokos Shel Yairam. He only received it because of the Machlokos of Yairam. Ask the Gemara, Mishu Machlokos Shel Yairam Ben Achav, Nimol B'Shemen, if he's never supposed to get Shemen Mishcha, because Malchus Yisrael don't receive it. So just because there was a Machlokes, we're going to do Me'ila in Shemen. So the Be'er Sheva explains very beautifully that even though we learned before that Shlomo and Yoyish, because of the Machlokes, did receive Shemen HaMishka, why didn't the Gemara ask over there? Because of a Machlokes, you're going to be Moyel. Normally, a Melech Ben Melech does not receive Shemen HaMishka. So because of Machlokes, you're going to be Moyel?
Why didn't the Gemara ask that question there? The answer is the Be'er Sheva, that by Malchus Beis David, that inherently require Shamar HaMishcha. It's only when it's a Melech Ben Melech that they don't require. So then we say when there's a Machlaikis, it's like starting a new line of monarchy, it's not considered Melech Ben Melech. And then you go back to the original din that Malchus Beis David require Mishcha. That's why the Gemara didn't ask, what about Me'ila? However, over here, it's a Melech Yisrael. So a Melech Yisrael never requires Mishcha. So that's why you want to make Mishcha because of Machlaikis. Who says because of Machlaikis? You have a Heter that should reinforce the Malchus of the person you're putting the Mashiach on, who says you have a heter of Me'ila? So the Gemara answers, Kid Amar Rav Papa, we're going to learn further on Daf Yud Beis, that how did they give Mashiach to Yehoyachas, who was younger than his brother Yehoyakim by 2 years, and they used Mashiach. So the Gemara on Daf Yud Beis is going to ask, but their father Yoshio had already hidden the Shemana Mishka. There was no Shemana Mishka around. And what did Rav Papa answer on that question? Parsima Dachia. He didn't use Shemana Mishka. It wasn't Shemana Mishka of Moshe Rabbeinu. It was pure balsam oil. So just like Rav Papa gave that teretz there, on this kasha also, Hachanami ba Parsima Dachia. Einachanami, if you would use Shemana Mishka of Moshe, it would be Me'ila to anoint the Melech Yisrael, even because of a Machlaikis. What they used was a Parsima Dachia, and the Meforshim explained that the onlookers thought it was Shemana Mishka, and Me'ila, it stopped the rebellion, and it allowed Yehub to become the king. But you are Einachanami, you're not allowed to use Shemana Mishka because it would be Me'ila by using it on a Melech Yisrael.
Continues the Gemara of Es Yehoyachas of Nei Yehoyachim, Shari Gadol Menush Tei Shonim, that the Yehoyachas received the Shemana Mishka because Yehoyachim was older than him by 2 years. Asked the Gemara, Mikoshin Minei, was Yehoyachim in fact 2 years older than Yehoyachas Vaksiv? We learned in the Pasuk, Bnei Yehoshiah, he had 4 sons, Habchor Yoichanan, Hasheni Yoyakim, the second one was Yoyakim, Hashlishi Tzikio, the third was Tzikio, Haravi, the fourth one was Shalom. V'yam Rabbi Yoichanan, Hu Shalom, Hu Tzikio. First statement Rabbi Yoichanan makes is that Shalom is the same as Tzikio. The Gemara later will ask, but it seems to be 2 different children, because it lists them as the third being Tzikiyohu, and the fourth being Shalom. We'll see that in a few minutes. But the Rabbi Yochanan says another statement, Hu Yochanan, Hu Yoyachas. That really Yochanan is the same person as Yoyachas. So we see that the Bechor of Yoshio was Yochanan, who is Yoyachas. So we see that Yoyachas is older than Yoyachim. How could you say that Yoyachim was 2 years older than Yoyachas? And for the Gemara, Lo'olam Yoyachim Kashish. Really Yoyachim was older than Yochanan, than Yoyachas. My Bechor, what does it mean that Yochanan was the Bechor? Yoyachas was the Bechor. Bechor Lamalchas, because he reigned first before his older brother. Subsequently, after 3 months of Yoyachas' rule, then Yoyachim took over. But originally, Yoichanan, Yoyachas, was the Bechor Lamalchus. Ask the Gemara, how do you do such a thing that you make the younger son before the older? Mi Malchi Zutri Mikamik Shishi Voksiv. The Pasuk says, by Yoyashafat Vesamamlocha Nasan Yoyahoyram. Kihua Bechor, because he's the Bechor, he gets first the crack at being the king ahead of the other sons. So how could Yoshio put Yoyachas, the younger brother, ahead of Yehoyakim for Malchus? The Gemara answers, Yehoyram Malamakam Avaisiv Hava. Yehoshaphat was a tzaddik, and as Rashi explains, Yehoyram, he became a rusher later on in his malucha, but at the beginning he was a mamalamakam avaisav. He replaced his father as a tzaddik. Yehoyakim, lav mamalamakam avaisav hava. Yehoyakim was not a mamalamakam of his father. He was a rusher, whereas his father Yehoshua was a tzaddik, and therefore he did not deserve to take over from Yehoshua. It went first to Yehoyachas, who was a mamalamakam of his father, and that's why, even though he was younger, he became the melech first. Omer Mar, we learned before, the Hu Shalom Hu Tzidkiyo, that the Rabbi Yochanan said it's the same person as the Gemara, and then we also learned Hu Yochanan Hu Yehoyachas. So the Gemara asked, V'chad Chad Kachashim, how can you say that Shalom and Tzidkiyo are the same? It lists them as the Chsiv Hashlishi V'Ravi, the third son and the fourth son. You see, it's 2 different sons. How can you say they're the same person? Answers the Gemara, it was the same person. My Shlishi Shlishi Lebo. He was the third son. Well, my Revi, what does it mean? He was fourth. Revi Lamalchus. He was the fourth to become king. The last 4 kings of Klal Yisrael before the Churban were Yehoyachas, then Yoyakim, then Yechonya, and then Tzidkiyo. So Yechonya
was a king in between the brother Yoyakim and the other brother Tzidkiyahu, and that's why Tzidkiyahu is listed as a fourth son. He's really the same as the third son, but he was fourth in the line of Melucha before the Churban. Tanu Rabbanan, we learned in a Braisa, who Shalom, who Tzidkiyahu? Shalom and Tzidkiyahu are the same person. Why was he called Shalom? Shohaya, Mishalom B'masav, he was complete in his deeds. He was a good person, a tzaddik. Ikad Yamri Sam say, Shalom, why was he called Shalom? Shalom B'masav Beis Dov, B'yom, in his days, the monarchy of Beis Dov came to an end with the Churban of the Beis Hamikdash. Uma Shemoy, what was his real name? Matanya Shemoy. Shenemer, V'yimlech Melech B'avil, Es Matanya Doi Doi, Tachtov, that after Yechonya was sent into Golus, the Melech Bavel appointed his uncle Matanya, the Yasav Yishmoitzikyo, and it was the Melech Bavel who changed Matanya's name into Tzidkiyo. And why did he call him Tzidkiyo? Amalei, Ka Yatzdik Alechazadin, Hashem should justify the justice which I will do to you, Im Timrod B, if you will rebel on me, and yet Tzidkiyahu did not listen, he rebelled, Duksiv the Pasuk states, the Gamba Melech Nebuchadnezzar, Morad Asher Yishbiyahu came, even though he had sworn to him in the name of Hashem, you should not rebel, but the Afal Pekin, he rebelled against the Melech Bavel, and that's when the Churban took place. But his real name was Matanya, it was the Melech Bavel who changed it to Tzidkiyahu, and Tzidkiyahu and Shalom are one and the same person.